welcome to this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of Perry Central Community School Corporation, Dr. Tara Bishop. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows our listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader. Someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Tara Bishop. Welcome, Tara.
Thanks, Jeff.
So many people may or may not know about Perry Central Community Schools and your community. Tell us a little bit about your district and about where you're located.
All right. So Perry Central Community School Corporation is in rural northern Perry County, Indiana. And Perry County is situated right in the middle of Indiana, an hour to the west of Louisville, an hour to the east of Evansville. So, and we're right on the
Perfect
Ohio
location.
River. It's beautiful. Yes. Yeah. Our school... I love that the word community is in our school because that's really what we are. We're a school that serves the entire community. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of other places to gather in our community. I mean, we host the Cattlemen's Association and the beekeepers and anybody who needs to use a space uses our space in the community.
At the school district.
At the school district. Yeah. We open it up to the community. Mm-hmm. It truly belongs to the community. And there's a lot of pride there. Yeah. So, and it actually started, so we are a consolidated school corporation. There were a lot of little one-room schools, which is a story of a lot of communities in Indiana. And there were two small high schools. And those, they formed Perry Central in the 1960s, the early 60s.
Yeah.
And the people who did that work, I really admire. And I kind of like history. So I've done a lot of research about how it all happened. And, they really wanted something better for their kids and their community. And the trustees at the time literally went door to door to get people to sign petitions to get Perry Central to become Perry Central. Stayed up all night and talked to people to get our school formed.
Yeah.
And my dad was actually went to Whale Township High School, which was one of those two schools, and was the first in his family to go to college. And he played basketball, baseball, and ran cross country at Hanover, and came back home. The first year Perry Central was Perry Central, and was a teacher that year and the first baseball coach.
Wow! So you have a lot of history.
Yeah, a lot.
Are you a grad?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I graduated in 1990, and then went to college and came back home a few years. I taught a few years other places, and then came back home. And yeah, that's our story.
You've been in central office at Perry Central for 27 years as an assistant superintendent, a superintendent. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about what brought you back to Perry Central. Was it family? Was it community? You talk about the word community. Mm-hmm. Is that what brought you back?
Yes, absolutely. So we settled in Perry County. I was actually teaching in a different district, and we were having our first child and had an opportunity to come home. I didn't really anticipate that that would be my journey in education. I also never thought I would be a school superintendent. It wasn't why I went to school. I went to school to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But that's just how it all transpired. But the fact that we definitely chose to live in Perry County and raise our family there. It's a beautiful place to live and raise a family. It's the rolling hills of southern Indiana and Hoosier National Forest, and it's beautiful there, and the people are what makes it the most special.
And lead with the distinction you have. You were recognized last year by the Department of Education and actually received a $50,000 grant for demonstrating a transformative student-centered approach to future readiness grounded in literacy. I'm taking this straight off of their website. STEM and college and career preparation. Tell us about that work and tell us about the recognition that you had at the Roof downtown Indianapolis.
That was really neat. So it's been really important to our team for a long time that despite the fact that we're, as some people would say, in the middle of nowhere, we like to say in the middle of everywhere, and that we're small, that our kids are able to have world-class educational experiences. Mm-hmm. We want them to be able to compete with the kid from Carmel or Noblesville or Evansville or where they have more programming and more money to do things for kids. And so we basically just have kind of a whatever it takes mentality, mm-hmm. and we're going to figure out how to bring those programs to Perry. So we have really robust career and technical education programs that we brought all in-house. One of the things that we get recognized for a lot is that we've been able to figure out how to bring work-based learning into a rural community. Mm-hmm. So we're an hour from most employers, and we're the largest and second largest employer in the district to the state prison mm-hmm. that is right by us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we started something a long time ago for internships. We had a goal that all of our seniors have complete a meaningful internship that was aligned to what they want to do after school. Mm-hmm. And so we're up to about 75% of our kids who have that. But the way we do it is all day on Wednesdays so that they can travel to wherever they need to go. So it doesn't work for our kids to do part of a day every day necessarily. Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of our foot in the door to figuring out how to bring those experiences to our kids. And then we grew it from there to really student enterprise programs. So student-run businesses. And we started that with Commodore Manufacturing and then grew it from there. So we have our construction trades classes build a Habitat house inside mm-hmm. our facility.
Wow.
But our engineering kids design the house for Habitat, and they go back and forth with multiple iterations until they get those plans right. And then our construction kids build it. This year, the Habitat home is going to one of our employees' family.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty cool. Neat. She gets to go down and kind of see the progress of the house. And so
they're building the walls, they're building all the infrastructure, and then they're going to take it to the site.
Yeah, it's a manufactured home built inside of our facility, which is the first time anybody in the country's ever done that, we think. There was mm-hmm. actually a Manufactured Homes Association came and did a whole documentary about it and chronicled the first house that we did, which was really, really neat. So that kind of thinking. So we also have Commodore Engineering, and so they for example, they worked with Jasper Engines and Transmissions, mm-hmm. and Jasper needed something built for tools for their employees so that they could easily pick up and put back down the tools that they were using mm-hmm. in their work. Mm-hmm. And our kids CAD drew out all of those plans and then went through, again, multiple iterations with Jasper back and forth with their department heads mm-hmm. until they got it right. And then we sell those to them now and make them for them. So it's just pretty cool experiences like that that I think have kind of just, they've been noticed, mm-hmm. I think, and the governor came to look at our programs recently. And so that was really, really cool. But we're just always looking for ways to continue to grow that.
Tara, do you think, what you're describing is, I mean, certainly a team effort, and certainly you have some amazingly creative and dedicated people who are making sure that your students have these great opportunities. Do you believe, as I'm processing this, is that out of necessity? Because your teachers know if we're going to provide our students some of the same opportunities that students in other geographic locations have, maybe closer to other industry, we're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to create these partnerships, and we're going to have to go above and beyond to truly open up these opportunities and explorations for our students.
I think it's always all about people. Mm-hmm. And I think about Todd Whitaker used to say that all the time, the professor mm-hmm. from Indiana State, it's people, not programs, yeah. right? And I do believe that it's people. We have a lot of really dedicated people who genuinely love and care about kids. Mm-hmm. I think most teachers do. And we also have a really creative leadership team. And so Jody French was the high school principal, mm-hmm. and now she runs all of that CTE and work-based learning. And she just has a passion for it and a really unstoppable spirit about it. And I just try to get out of her way and make sure she has the resources that she needs. Yeah. But sometimes you just have to have a champion like that. But then she nurtures those teachers and helps them. Because, you know, it isn't always natural for teachers to build relationships with employer partners. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a bridge for that sometimes. And she's been really instrumental in all that.
You talk about people. One of the things that we know is people stay in a location. They stay with an employer because of the people they work with and work for. They don't leave because of pay and some of those other things. You attract amazing people to Perry Central. You keep people at Perry Central. How do you do that as a leader?
One of the things that we work really hard at is building a positive, caring culture rooted in empathy. So, and sometimes this is hard. It's hard to balance.
Yeah.
We want to be listeners and empathetic and meet people where they are and understand, and at the same time hold the standard. Mm-hmm. You know, like we still have to be accountable for doing really good work and having high expectations. And sometimes that can be challenging to determine when to push and when to support. And
yeah.
so, but I think that what we've done really is just invest in people, listen to people, build their self-efficacy. We believe that they have the tools to solve problems and try to empower them to do that. I mean, we do all the other kind of stuff. We celebrate people and we, you know,
sure.
notes and mailboxes and all the things that you do. But we've had people remark who've been in other places that it just feels different. It does feel like family where we're from. And that's not by accident. It's very intentional.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about one of the things that we sometimes start meetings with, and this is a new question for our podcast, for those who are listening, but we try to get to know each other a little bit. And one of the things that we do sometimes is we use the phrase, if you knew me well, you would know. What would you tell your listeners? If you knew me well, you would know.
So I think you would know that I'm very earnest and passionate about the work, that I really love people and believe in people and try to support people to be the best versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. I think you would, on the light side, you would know one of my favorite things is music. And
what kind of music?
Any kind of music that is moving. and so I listen to music. And one of the ways, this is kind of embarrassing to admit, but one of the ways I find new music is TikTok. And so my TikTok feed is full of new artists.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I'm forever sending a song to somebody. Like, this song made me think of you. And so, and I'm a sucker for Broadway musicals in New York City. So that's something else you probably know about.
Have you been to New York City?
Yeah, lots of times. Going again at the end of May. Really looking forward to it. Yeah.
What are you
going to
see?
We're going to see Chess.
Mm.
Yeah, there was a TV show called Glee.
Yes.
And the star was Lea Michele, and
yes.
She stars in Chess.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Super excited about
one
it.
Of my favorite shows.
Yeah. Yeah, us too. My daughter is going as well.
I just admitted that on our podcast.
But I yes, love it.
You're from Perry Central. You have family in Perry Central. You talk a little bit about Broadway and New York. Mm-hmm. When you want to get away, even just for a short, because we don't often have a chance to get away and not be the superintendent. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you just want to get away?
Sometimes I go to Nashville, Tennessee, actually.
I
love
Nashville.
Broadway,
yes.
And going to listen to music. And I feel
Broadway
like
in Nashville, not Broadway in
right,
New York.
Right, two Broadways here, but Broadway
very
in
different streets.
I really like that. When I'm at home, we have a lake in front of our house and a dock, and I go sit on the dock and look at the water and watch the sunset,
wow.
Which is kind of...
What a great way to end the day.
It grounds me a little bit, yeah for sure.
Talk about your pathway a little bit. We mentioned you've been in central office 27 years. You taught in some districts before you came back to Perry Central. But what was your pathway into the superintendency? You mentioned that's not really why you went in education. So how did it happen?
So I started teaching. I taught English and Spanish at Heritage Hills High School. And the principal there at the time was Al Logsdon. And he was just a great principal to start out under. He was really innovative, and he pushed me to be innovative. And I'll never forget the first year I was there. The state had the mentorship program, and it was really formal back then. You had official mentoring meetings we would go to. And he asked me to speak with my mentor teacher at an area meeting, and just kind of saw something in me that I hadn't really seen, I think, in myself in terms of leadership. And so from there, I knew I wanted to get a master's degree in something beyond regular education. So I actually got my master's in school counseling.
Hmm.
And I was
very helpful today.
Yeah. I was a school counselor for a while, and then I fell in love. Well, at Perry, I was a school counselor at Perry. And at Perry Central, everybody wears about 85 hats.
Sure.
And so I ended up doing a lot of school improvement work. And then got into curriculum, and I fell in love with that work. And so I got my doctorate in curriculum, in educational leadership, but a concentration in curriculum instruction. And I did that for 17 years at Perry. That and grant writing, tons and tons of grant writing. Yeah. And so it just sort of happened. I mean, I do think, what is it they say? You shouldn't tell girls they're bossy, that it's leadership skills. I do think I'm a little bit bossy. I think I see what... sometimes what needs to be done, and I want to be part of who gets it done, you know, and so it's just naturally happened over time.
So you mentioned girl leadership. You followed another woman superintendent, Mary Roberson, and absolutely phenomenal leader. You both, and I don't want to talk about Mary, but you both were involved and are involved in the association. Your leadership has been instrumental as the chair of District 7 for many years now. You've been involved with the hiring of me, the new executive director. You've been involved with strategic planning. You've been involved with a lot of different things. Why did you choose to take that extra role? You're already super busy. You mentioned 85 hats that people wear in your district, and yet you decided to step up and be a leader for other superintendents in the association. What was it that led you to want to give back to other superintendents?
Well, I'm going to blame it on Daryl Bobe. He kind of made me do it in District 7. He's like, I'm done. You're new. You're doing it next. So it was reluctant at first, and then I fell in love with it, really, because I met so many amazing people through around the state through being district chair. And I recommend it to people all the time now, just because it just helps you grow your network. Yeah. And, you know, there's lots of great ways to lead and lots of great places to learn from. And where we live, it would be really easy to just stay in my office and not learn from other people. And so it's just forced me to get out and to meet people and to put myself out there. It was scary at first. It was, if I'm being honest. And I've over time gotten used to it and have really begun to enjoy it. I believe in the association. We need each other in this job. It's a really lonely job sometimes. There's not a lot of people who understand it except your colleagues. So having that network has just been really important.
Yep. Our time is getting short, so I want to ask you the final question I ask all of our podcast participants. When you think about leading with excellence, and you've mentioned several different things already in this podcast, but when you think about leading with excellence, especially in the context of public education, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, that's a hard question for me. I think leadership is so many things, and good leadership can look really different. I don't think there's one way to do it right. The excellence piece, I think it's showing up every day and doing the very best you can, but not being satisfied with that either. Mm-hmm. What's the latest research say we should be doing? What can we learn from others whose students are achieving at higher levels than our students are achieving? Yeah. Just that relentless pursuit of how can we be better today than we were yesterday? Mm-hmm. To me, that's how I define it. And I try to do that. It's tough work, but it's the most rewarding work I think we could possibly do. I love my job. I love getting to do what I do every day. It's really motivating when you look at kids and you think that the work that you're doing impacts their lives.
Makes a difference.
It's really noble work, I think, and I'm grateful and blessed to be able to do it.
Yeah. Tara, thanks for being my guest.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of the Perry Central Community School Corporation, Dr. Tara Bishop. Tara's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.